Father, we come from a world where nothing is certain and where nothing is easy. We come to you with confidence to offer a little more of our lives to you. We come knowing that you will ask nothing of us that we cannot face, nothing we cannot do, nothing we cannot give, so long as we rely on the presence and power of the risen Christ. Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit you will enable us to offer your worship, you worship that is centered not on ourselves and our needs, but on you and you alone. Amen. Carl is going to bring us our first reading.
I haven't got my glasses, so I can't see the thing.
Carl, I need you to read it from the screen.
Oh, I'm nearly there. Hang on. Oh, thank you. That's a read. Psalm 107, 1 to 16. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love is eternal. Repeat these words in praise to the Lord, all you whom he has saved. He has rescued you from your enemies and has brought you back from foreign countries, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the trackless desert and could not find their way to the city to live in. They were hungry and thirsty and had given up all hope. Then in their trouble they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He led them by a straight road to a city where they could live. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. He satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some were living in gloom and darkness, prisoners suffering in chains. Because they had rebelled against the commands of Almighty God and had rejected his instructions. They were worn out from hard work, they would fall down and no one would help. Then in their trouble they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of their gloom and darkness and broke their chains in pieces. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. He breaks down doors of bronze and smashes iron bars.
We'll now sing hymn number 94, and the offering will be collected while we're singing this hymn. that they will be spread amongst those that need it, and that they will be used to further your kingdom. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We now bring our prayers of intercession to the Lord. Is there anybody that I need to be praying for today before we start? Yes. Neil and Carrie as well. Sorry? Yeah. And there was somebody we mentioned in prayers. Mick and Marianne, that's it. Okay, let us pray. Loving Father God, we thank you, Lord, for being our Saviour. Thank you for waking us up in a nice, comfortable home. And we pray for those who are homeless, those who have nowhere to lay their head at night, whether it's beautiful sunny weather like today, pouring with rain or freezing cold, they have to sleep out in the elements. And Lord, we pray for them that you will protect them and guide them to a safe haven. We thank you that we have enough to eat, and we pray for those that are hungry. Lord, we pray for those across the world that are displaced from their homes and are waiting for supplies to be delivered to them. We think especially of Gaza at the moment, that their supplies aren't getting through very well. And we just ask that you will bless them, Lord, and that everything that is given, you will bless to make them strong and well. We thank you for being able to come to church freely. We pray for those across the world who are persecuted for their faith. We pray especially today for Mexico. More than 100 believers from Chiapas State were recently forced to flee their communities due to escalating violence from criminal gangs. Lord, we pray for your provision and direction for them and their safety. Lord, we thank you for living in a peaceful country. And we pray for those who are living in war-torn countries. We think of Israel and Gaza, of Ukraine and Russia, and there are many more wars around the world, Lord, and we pray that you will protect them, that you will enter the hearts of those leaders, that they can find a way to stop the fighting. We thank you for those, we pray for those in hospital and those who are unable to come to church today. We think especially of Mick and Marianne, of Neil and Carrie, of Gemma, Ted and Barbara. And we pray for my friend Fran, who has had news that she has a problem and needs a big operation, Lord. We pray that you will be with them all and give them your comfort and your blessing. We pray for revival in this country and especially in Kettering. We thank you for the evangelistic thing that was going on in Kettering yesterday. And we pray for those who received your word. May they listen to it. May they read what they were given and know that you are their God too. And we pray for our government, that they will know you, that they will make the right decisions for this country, and that they will be humbled before you. We pray for our council, that they will know the best thing to do for this town and for this county. We pray that your love will surround them, Lord. And we pray especially for Mary, the new minister in Carey Church at Moulton, that she brings your word and revival to that church, Lord. And we pray for Sharon, the new minister at Rockingham Road, as she starts in July. We just thank you for these people who have given their lives to you and ask that you bless them and give them your words to say in the services they take and in the work they do for you, Lord. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. We now sing two hymns, number 321, if you have a book, I'm Accepted, and number 170, Give Thanks.
Thank you. The New Testament reading is Acts 20, verse 30, 22, verse 30, 23 to 1 to 11. And it's entitled Before the Sanhedrin. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly what Paul had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests of all the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before him. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all conscience to this day." At this, the high priest, Ananias, ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you. You whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law. Yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare to insult God's highest priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, called out the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am the Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there was no resurrection and that there was neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledged them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or of an angel had spoken to him?" This dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force, bringing them into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome."
Can I just thank our two readers who didn't know they were doing it till this morning? Our next hymn is Abba Father. You're going to wonder where I'm going with this when I start, but it will work out in the end. In August 1977, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, died. My husband was a mine of knowledge about pop music, and he told me that there were several well-known pop stars who died at the tender age of 27. They included Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and Mark Bolan from T-Rex. Buddy Holly died at the age of 22 on the 3rd of February 1959. He was one of three who died in a plane crash. The others were Ritchie Valens and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson. This day was recorded in the song by Don McLean, American Pie, The Day the Music Died. In June 2009, the man known as the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, unexpectedly died at the age of 50. All of these are so well known that their records are still played today.
Oh, yeah.
They're part of our youth and will always bring back some happy memories. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating the life and accomplishments of our favourite music stars. As a matter of fact, and despite what you may have thought or heard, you will not go to hell for listening to this music. But we should not worship them as if they are gods, because God has said that he alone is God, and he will share his glory with no one else. But yet, there is another famous man who happened to die at the age of 33, who should be celebrated much more than Michael Jackson or Elvis Presley. Now, this man that I'm talking about never sold any records, but yet there are numerous songs written about this man that have never gone out of style. This man never had a sold out concert, but this man has had church music where mass choirs sang songs about him, and has had CDs sold that feature him in their musical lyrics, just like our favourite stars had. A large entourage, bodyguards, and crowds following him wherever he went. This man also had a large crowd following him wherever he went, especially when he fed 5,000 men and more people, women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, performing miracles whenever he went out to different places preaching and teaching the word of God. This man even did humanitarian work like many pop stars, except this man healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, made the crippled man walk, cast out demons out of people, and raised up dead people. In a matter of fact, this man is still doing a great work, because somebody said that this man woke them up this morning and started them out on their way. Yes, this man died at the age of 33, but there is a big difference between this man and any pop star's death. When they died, they were in comfort in their own homes or that aeroplane. But when this man died, he was nailed to an old rugged cross, out in the open, public being ridiculed by his enemies. When pop stars die, they have lavish funerals that were shown on worldwide TV. But when this man died, they just took his body off the cross. No funeral service was held, and they just buried him in a borrowed tomb. In that time, criminals were buried in mass graves. What would have happened if believers... What would have happened if he had been buried in a mass grave? Who would have believed the disciples when they said he was alive? But the difference between pop stars and this man is that they are still dead, But this man has risen from the dead after 3 days after his death. As you have guessed, this man whom I'm talking about is Jesus, the Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that needs to be celebrated, worshipped, praised, glorified, magnified in our thanksgiving. For Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." Why should we celebrate Jesus Christ? You ought to celebrate Jesus Christ because he is the living Word of God, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Saviour of the world, the great physician, the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world, our great Redeemer, great Jehovah, the open door, the great Shepherd, the resurrection of the life, the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, the giver of the Holy Spirit, the true vine, and at Spring Harvest we heard that he was the great Creator. And at Sharon Cross's ordination yesterday, we heard that he was also the rock. We were given these sticks of rock to remind us. Yes, Jesus is Christ. He is my friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is my doctor in the sick room. He is my lawyer in the courtroom. He is my bread when I am hungry. He is my water when I'm thirsty. He is my wonderful counselor when I am confused. He is my peace in the midst of the storm. He is joy when I am sad. He is my savior. He is my Lord who died upon the cross for my and your sins. And he rose from the dead with all power in his hands. And if we put our trust in him, he will give us eternal life. And since Jesus Christ ought to be celebrated much more than pop stars, we should do the following things. We should seek the Lord with all our hearts. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." We should serve the Lord with all our hearts. Deuteronomy 10 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his way and to love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to observe the commands the Lord has decreed that I am giving you today for your own good." We should obey the Lord with all our hearts. Psalm 119 says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of God. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and that seek him with all their hearts." We should turn to the Lord with all our hearts. Joel chapter 2 says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning." We should praise the Lord with all our hearts. Psalm 86 says, "I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Lastly, we should trust the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now the question is, why should we give God all our hearts in our celebration to him? Well, because in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I think most people know that verse well. We ought to give God all our hearts, because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is Jesus who dies for us. According to Revelations chapter 1, it is Jesus who loves us. According to Titus chapter 1, it is Jesus who saves us. And again in Revelations, it is Jesus who washed us white as snow. In Ephesians chapter 2, it is Jesus who quickens us. In Colossians, it is Jesus who translated us. According to Revelations again, it is Jesus who made us priests and kings. According to 2 Timothy, it is Jesus who called us. According to 1 Peter, it is Jesus who has begotten us. And according to Ephesians, it is Jesus who has blessed us. According to Ephesians once again, it is Jesus who has raised us. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it is Jesus who has given us the victory. Now there was something that I had noticed on the day when Michael Jackson had died. People were calling each other on the telephone, text messaging each other, writing each other on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, emailing each other, instant messaging each other to inform them of the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, had died. It had been reported that the use of technology devices was on the rise and increased on that day when Michael Jackson had died. Only just over a year ago, our own Queen Elizabeth died, and just recently the Pope had died. The news flew around the world due to today's technology. And looking back at that, I said to myself, wouldn't it be nice if we as Christians would call people on the telephone, text message people, write to people on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, emailing people, to inform them that even though the Queen or the Pope is dead, the King of Kings is not, because he is yet still alive, performing miracles, working things out, and saving souls. If we can tell somebody that Michael Jackson, or the Queen, or the Pope, you should be able to tell somebody about Christ Jesus. For the scripture says in Psalms 107, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You see, if God has been good to you, you ought to say so. If God has delivered you, you ought to say so. If God has saved your soul, you ought to say so. If God has blessed you, you ought to say so. If God has woken you up this morning, you ought to say so. If God has brought you from a long way, you ought to say so. In our reading from Acts, Paul spoke out in the name of Jesus, even though his life was in danger. Tell others of the greatness of your God, who sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for us all. Not just those in church, but everyone. One of my favourite sayings is that God loves everyone, it's just that some don't know it yet. As Paul told the Sanhedrin, we must tell the world of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you be prepared to die for Jesus as Paul did? That is a question only you can answer. Maybe we will only know for certain if we are ever in that situation. Speak out as the persecuted Christians around the world do today. Let us pray. Lord, you do not change. You are always there, and you always will be. We praise you for your greatness, which holds our smallness, for your majesty, which was once clothed with our humanity, for your sovereignty, which embraced our frailty, for your holiness, which exposed our sinfulness, for your wholeness, which heals our brokenness, for your glory, which fills our emptiness, for your love, which gives us life, for your Son, who claimed us for his own, for your Spirit, who empowers us for worship, witness, and service. Lord, of all time and space and all things, we praise you that in Christ you came and shared all that life means to us, so that we, by your grace, might enter into all that heaven is with him. We praise you for the coming of Christ our Lord and the Saviour of the world. In his name, amen. Our final hymn is Name of All Majesty. With having reading glasses, they come on and off so often. The Lord who called us sends us. The Lord who sends us goes with us. The Lord who goes with us gives us his message of hope, joy, love and peace. The Lord, who gives us the message, gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to make it known. We go now in the power of the Spirit to live and work for God's praise and glory. The service is now finished. The worship is now finished. Our service now begins. Amen.